And entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. A handful of American troops have been injured after Iraqi resistance forces attacked a convoy of soldiers about 40 miles north of Baghdad over the weekend. The attack came as U.S. soldiers launched a new major offensive against armed supporters of Saddam Hussein. Major Sean Gibson says the mission, named Operation Desert Scorpion, is supposed to identify Ba'ath Party loyalists and others who have recently been launching attacks on U.S. forces.
A key element of this is following those operations, we'll also conduct various civil affairs and humanitarian assistance operations, intent being to be quickly get Iraq basically back on its feet and make it a better place to live.
The operation started Saturday night with soldiers searching houses in the town of Fallujah and also distributing food and supplies. American Special Envoy to the Middle East John Wolf is meeting Israeli leaders in Jerusalem in an attempt to push forward the peace process. That meeting comes as French Foreign Minister Dominique Delville-Pan says his government will discuss the possibility of sending European Union peacekeepers to the Middle East region. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
It's a day of intense negotiations as U.S. Envoy John Wolf meets with Israeli chiefs, while Palestinian Prime Minister Abu Mazen holds talks with militant groups in Gaza to try to persuade them to observe a ceasefire. The latest round of discussions comes after a week of violence which has left at least 60 people dead. The talks are expected to focus on two plans to move the peace process forward: the Israeli withdrawal from part of Gaza for which the Palestinian Authority would assume responsibility for security, and a ceasefire between the Israeli army and Hamas. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
And North Korea today is telling the U.S. to quite simply mind its own business. North Korean officials are upset over U.S.-led efforts to crack down on suspected trafficking in drugs and other contraband. America and its allies say Pyongyang is exporting narcotics, counterfeit money, and missile technology to help fund North Korea's nuclear weapons plans and also to boost its sagging economy. The official North Korean news agency, though, says the U.S. is guilty of drug crimes involving, quote, not only beggars and slums, but its presidents.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Medicare debate heads to the full Senate today. At issue is adding prescription drug benefits to the Medicare program for seniors. A Senate panel last week approved a $400 billion package different from the president's plan, which would give most of the benefits to older Americans who switch to private managed care plans. The Supreme Court says now it's okay to force defendants to take antipsychotic medications if those drugs will make a person competent to stand trial. The justices also wrote the medications can only be administered in serious criminal trials under limited circumstances that would serve the government's trial-related interests.
Honey, why are you wallpapering? Hmm? I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
Increased security and scare tactics helped to curb anti-regime protests that had put Iran's capital on edge since early last week. But news reports now say demonstrations and violence have spread to take place elsewhere in the country. And one person has actually been killed in protests in the southern city of Shiraz. More from correspondent Roxana Saberi.
In Tehran, thousands of cars turned out for the fifth night of protests. Many have been calling for reforms or an end to the Islamic Republic's clerical regime. But heightened security and attacks by armed vigilantes largely prevented cars cars from honking their horns and protesters from gathering in the capital. Some university students say vigilantes who support Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei stormed their dorm Saturday night. Scores of people have been injured in the clashes and many have been arrested. Many students believe the protest will gain more momentum as the anniversary approaches on July 9th of student protests 4 years ago, which were brutally suppressed. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program. You're listening to the IE America Radio Network. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite. The Sirius radio satellite. You can listen to satellite radio in your car. And broadcasting live on the Internet from ieamericaradio.com and radiopower.org. Should government restrain corporations? What's the relative role of these two? We're going to be exploring that in our first segment here today. A couple of other things here I wanted to go through with you on our What's Up AMR. We did our little piggies segment a couple of weeks ago about Donald J. Carty, the former president of AMR, American Airlines. And American Airlines announced yesterday, it was in the Wall Street Journal today, that they are not going to give him a severance package. Now, this is what he's going to get. He's going to get $8.2 million in a lump sum after-tax payment. He's going to get $79,000 a year as a pension. He's going to get an undisclosed amount of stock. And he's going to receive full medical and free travel privileges for the rest of his life. This guy who basically stuck it to the unions and then got outed for it, finally the word came out. Howard Dean has had a victorious week, as it were, in the Wisconsin Democratic Party convention. He beat John Kerry. He beat everybody. Kerry was the closest to him, and that was with 33 votes to Howard Dean's 126 in the Wisconsin straw poll. Very interesting stuff. Should government restrain corporations? We have this extraordinary situation here where the FCC voted to allow a further aggregation of media outlets. And now the Senate is talking about reversing that, either by administrative rules or by passing legislation.
And William Safire wrote about this in today's New York Times. William Safire, the unrepentant conservative, is calling for government to regulate corporate behavior. Whoa, what's this about? Rob Williams, adjunct professor of history and media studies, Sacred Heart University, Burlington College, and Champlain College, board president of Action Coalition for Media Education, is on the line with us today. And Rob, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. I think he's on the line.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Good, Tom. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, I'm pleased to have you here. It's interesting. We went looking for somebody on the right who would defend the FCC because we try to show both sides of an argument here.
Sure.
In this program. We couldn't find a single person who was willing to go on the air and say that they thought that the FCC did the right thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think this is an issue that transcends not just party lines, but really kind of transcends the traditional way we think about the political spectrum. It's really amazing. I mean, when the National Rifle Association mails 250,000 cards and letters to the FCC saying that further deregulation is a bad idea, you know that something's going on. And
yeah,
and when
I agree.
When Barry Diller and Ted Turner, who both made, you know, millions of dollars in the world of corporate media, come out and say this is a bad idea, you know something's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's clearly an issue that has touched a nerve in American politics, and it's interesting how rapidly it did it with how little advance notice. By the way, Rob, I just want to get an announcement in here to our listeners. We have opened our chat room. If you go to TomHartman.com, click on the link to the radio program, and then click on the link that says chat room. That'll take you to the trade forum. Click on the chat button, and it'll drop you in there.
If you want to
feedback to us about this, and if anybody would like to call and be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Our question: should government restrain corporations? Rob, give us a quick summary of what Action. This is Rob Williams speaking with what Action Coalition for Media Education is up to.
Sure. Well, we're just a quick overview, down and dirty. We're a continental nonprofit. We've got members all over the United States and Canada. We've got folks from the world of public health and folks from the world of activism and teachers and students and researchers and independent media producers and journalists. And what ACME is trying to do is we're trying to pull together an umbrella coalition of all these different stakeholders to really work on three things. One is media education in the classroom and in communities, just talking with people about how our media system works. Number two, we're trying to promote independent media production, whether it's radio, film, internet, zines. There's just a lot of great independent media out there that's not being allowed access to a system that's dominated by, you know, six or seven very large transnational corporations.
Right.
And then we're also working at the reform level. That's our third goal, is really working with some other reform groups to really let the FCC and Congress know that this is an issue that Americans really care about.
Great. Rob Williams with the Action Coalition for Media Education. Rob, we have a call. Phil from Palm Harbor, Florida, is on the line. Thanks for calling, Phil. Welcome to the program. I think our either Phil is gone or our board operator is asleep at the switch. Anyhow, Rob, let me come back to this.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Hey, Phil.
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
Welcome to the program.
Thank
you're on
you.
With Tom Hartman and Rob Williams.
Right, Tom. I wanted to talk about. If you saw 60 Minutes last night, there was an appalling story on by Christiane Amanpour.
I did not see it.
Well, you need to go to the website and read about it. For the people who didn't see it, 30 years ago, when Mr. Nixon was in office. Apparently, we decided that we needed to take over an entire island, 10,000 kilometers away from the United States, to have a better Air Force base, so we could drop bombs on people more efficiently. So we negotiated with Great Britain to take over an island called Diego Garcia.
Oh yeah,
Diego Garcia was a former conquest of the British Empire. And so, apparently, according to the story, we decided that we needed the entire island, And the native people who were working in their own little businesses, you know, industry to process coconut meat and coconut fiber.
Rob, yeah. Pardon me for interrupting you, but we have a guest on one particular topic here right now. And
you want me to call back?
I really don't have the time to recap another program on this one. Is there a summary point that you wanted to make?
The appalling thing is that we conducted ourselves in a very Nazi-like way. And we need to go back and take care of the poor people that we screwed,
Diego
who were
Garcia.
Former residents of this island.
Okay.
If you would
Thanks
see the story,
that,
you'd still be. If you would watch that story last night, you'd still be impressed today as to what this government did to those poor people.
Well, hopefully it'll be a recap. Phil, thank you very much for sharing that with us. In fact,
you
remind me of our quote for the day. Which I didn't. I neglected to start our program with. It's from Robert L. Jackson, the chief U.S. prosecutor at the Nuremberg Tribunal. He said, "We must make clear to the Germans that the wrong for which their fallen leaders are on trial is not that they lost the war, but that they started it. And we must not allow ourselves to be drawn into a trial of the causes of the war, for our position is that no grievances or policies will justify resort to aggressive war. It is utterly renounced and condemned as an instrument of policy." But back to Rob and back to our question here, and thanks, Phil, for the call. I appreciate that. Rob, should government restrain corporations?
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk with you about that, Tom, because I think the way you're framing that is kind of interesting. I think we have sort of this notion that we live in a society where government power and corporate power are at odds with one another. But I think in the case of media ownership, it's kind of a different story. I think when you look at what's going on, I think what you see is that politically, the federal government is really in bed with the telecommunications industry. I mean, the telecom industry is, you know, one of the top corporate givers to Congress and to the FCC. The Center for Public Integrity did a fascinating expose on the FCC's connections with the telecom industry, and what they discovered was that, you know, almost $3 million and 70-plus visits later, the corporate telecom industry really had its way with the FCC. And the sad thing about this is the FCC, which is charged with really going out into American communities and talking with American citizens about what kind of media system they want in the name of the public interest, as the legal jargon goes, really dropped the ball on this. And I think there's a good reason for that. I think that the corporate players here weren't interested in having a public debate about this issue.
Yeah.
And I should say also that it's interesting, there are five commissioners on the FCC. Two of them, Michael Copps and Jonathan Edelstein, both dissented from the majority opinion and said, essentially, this is really a dangerous move for the FCC to be making right now.
The two Democrats out of the five people on the committee. Good point. Rob, the FCC rules were as a result of the Telecommunications Act of 1996 and all the tinkering that Reagan did back in 86 and 87, we're at 35%, you know, no corporation could reach more than 35%
right.
of America. And it had all these other very specific thresholds.
Right.
What I'm wondering, and there's this big action now in Congress. I mean, even John McCain is talking about this.
Right.
Folks on both the left and the right about taking this decision that the FCC just made to expand that to 45%, rolling it back to 35%. I'm wondering, why not take it to zero? I'm serious.
That's a great question. I think I think for those of us, you know, who think that competitive capitalism and small d democracy are you know useful systems for building a society on, I think you make a good point. I mean, why should we let one very large corporation own up to three TV stations and eight radio stations and one newspaper, all in the same media market? I mean, when you look at that, it's fundamentally undemocratic, and it just sets up communities for all kinds of consolidation and centralization and censorship, and I just think it's dangerous.
We faced this back 130 years ago during the Gilded Age.
Right.
And Senator Sherman on December 4th, 1889, proposed Senate Bill Number 1, which says, every person who shall monopolize or attempt to monopolize or combine or conspire with any other person or persons to monopolize any part of the trade or commerce among the several states or with foreign nations shall be deemed guilty of a felony, and on conviction thereof shall be punished by a fine not exceeding $10 million if a corporation, or if any other person $350,000, and imprisonment not exceeding 3 years, or by both said punishments in the discretion of the court, end quote. And that's the Sherman Antitrust Act, and it's still on the books.
In 1890, the Sherman Antitrust Act set us up for a period of time there where the government, the federal government, was really interested in closely scrutinizing corporate behavior and breaking up monopolies, whether it was the railroads or what have you. And I think we're there again, aren't we?
I think we absolutely are. Rob, if you can stay with us, I'd like to just wrap this up in just a minute. We'll be back in just a few minutes after these commercial breaks here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned for more about media conglomerates and what they're doing to democracy.
James Carville here again. By now you know InPhone is great for phone numbers, driving directions, movie times, but it does a whole lot more. When you call InPhone, it costs just 89 cents for the first 15 minutes. Every minute after that is just 5 cents. Pretty good, huh? So, I ask you, is InPhone enhanced directory assistance, or is it super cheap long distance with a personal operator? 888-411-1111. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What do you get when you cross a ballerina with an insomniac? Someone who'll dance the night away. And that's what they're doing at a dance-a-thon put together by dancers and their community coalition to raise money for kids' after-school programs. And what do you get when people bring their groups together? Healthier, drug-free communities, especially for kids. So if you're involved with a group, contact your community coalition at helpyourcommunity.org or 877-KIDS-313. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace. You want peace.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something I need.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. Our question this hour, should government restrain corporations? We're talking with Rob Williams of the Action Coalition for Media Education. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Ed from Seattle, Washington is on the line. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hi, I wanted to say hello to you guys, and Ed, you're a godsend. To get you guys up here.
Well, thank you.
And first and foremost, my question is, if anyone can find out, these three right-wing people that are on this FCC committee, how much do they have invested in these big major corporations that want this deal to go through? And if at all, that are any of these guys on the take, have they lied in some way to try to convince the public that this deal is good for America? Somehow I don't believe it. I see the poor getting poorer and the rich getting richer. And I would like to know, when did anybody say that President Bush is honorable, respectable, and everything he does is right? A lot of us don't disagree with what's going on. And we got these weak Democratic guys up here that don't have any backbone to stand up to them. Can anybody give us help out here at all?
Give them hell, Ed.
Boy. Ed, right on.
Okay, Rob, your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you.
Well said,
if you want to go to ACME's website, acmecoalition.org, you're going to see that there are all kinds of organizations and people working on this particular issue around this FCC decision. And, in fact, we're rolling out a national campaign today. It's going to go all summer long. And we're calling on teachers and students and independent media producers and independent journalists like Tom and activists and political reform groups to work together just to tackle this issue and hold it up in front of Congress and the FCC and say, you know what, we're just tired of the situation and we want some change.
Right. Well said, Rob. Rob and Ed in Seattle, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate your calling in. Let's give that website just unambiguously and clearly, Rob.
Sure. It's www.acmecoalition.org.
Okay, great.
And all of our member organizations are listed there, and we're working with others as well.
Rob, to answer Ed's specific question, I know that Colin Powell's son, Michael Powell, who's head of the FCC, is the son of, I mean, Colin Powell, his father, was a board member of AOL Time Warner.
Yes.
And a major stockholder, a significant stockholder in
yes.
that corporation,
yeah.
and was enriched to the tune of presumably millions of dollars by that corporation. But I don't know if the son was. Do you know if any of these guys are?
Yeah, there are a lot of connections between the telecom industry and the FCC. It's kind of a rotating door there between those two organizations, those two worlds, I should say. But I mentioned the Center for Public Integrity before. They've, as far as I know, they've done the best investigative research on this particular issue that Ed's asking about, and they have a website. If you do a search for Center for Public Integrity, they have all of the questions that Ed asked answered. I just mentioned earlier the 70 plus visits by Rupert Murdoch of News Corp and other big media executives to the FCC and gifts totaling close to $3 million, trips and what have you. And then there's
whereas,
the question of ownership.
You or I couldn't even send them some good Vermont maple candy.
Maybe we should put together a care package, Tom.
There you go. And they say, well, that's the problem is they wouldn't accept it. Rob, we just have a few seconds left. What do you see as the hope in this situation?
I'm very hopeful. I think what's interesting to me is how hard all these big media players work to keep these kinds of issues out of the limelight, out of public scrutiny, because when people find out about them, when the American public finds out what's going on with questions of media ownership, they're outraged. And I think if we can continue to hold this issue out in front of people, as we plan on doing and so many other organizations plan on doing, and build a viable coalition around this issue, I think we can really roll back these changes.
We can really
that
do
we don't
something.
Like.
Great. Thank you, Rob. That's Rob Williams with the Action Coalition for Media Education, www.acmecoalition.org. Thank you for being on the program today, Rob. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection?
It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Workers at 14 Goodyear tire plants across North America will strike on June 27th unless their employer agrees to a new contract. This, according to the United Steelworkers of America. The Steelworkers Union has been bargaining with Goodyear for nearly 3 months, but has little to show for its efforts to win job security from an employer that's looking to send jobs to cheaper overseas plants. Goodyear is also looking for $1 billion in concessions, money the United Steelworkers says the company hopes to invest in non-union sweatshops overseas. Officially, the union's old agreement expired on April 21st, but the steelworkers have been extending their contract on a day-to-day basis ever since.
Much of Canada's rail system could be shut down next week if some 200 rail traffic controllers with the Canadian Pacific Railway go on strike. They've been trying to negotiate a new contract with the railroad since September, but the two sides broke off mediation efforts at the end of May. A cooling-off period ends on June 18th, and the Union of Rail Canada Traffic Controllers classifies a strike or lockout as probable. If picket lines do go up, traffic controllers with other railroads might honor them, which could lead to widespread disruption of rail traffic throughout the country.
Stop the presses. That's what journalists at Italy's biggest-selling daily newspaper did yesterday in protest of what they say is Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's attack on press freedom. Journalists with Corriere della Sera say the paper's longtime editor, Ferruccio De Bortoli, was pressured by Berlusconi to resign due to his paper's opposition to the U.S.-led war in Iraq, as well as its unfavorable coverage of the prime minister's trial on corruption charges. Berlusconi himself is Italy's largest media baron, with holdings in newspapers, radio, and publishing houses, and by many estimates, the arch-conservative controls some 90% of Italy's television market.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligator, long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different. We'll be right back.
best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IU America Radio Network. Should government restrain corporations? So, in our chat room, one of the folks there says, how did we get here? Who enforces this? What is this about simply holding corporations to the same rules as anybody else? If you'd like to drop into the chat room, by the way, just go to tomhartman.com, click on the link to the radio show, click on the link from there to the chat room, and push on the chat button. And you'll be dropped in there with a half a dozen other folks or more. And the question for the day, should government restrain corporations? Where did this start? I think this is really worth going back a little bit and looking at some of the history of this. There are those on the right, and by the right these days, I mean those who have come to be captured by corporate power and influence. The right isn't what the right used to be. I mean, the word conservative has been so corrupted by these corporate shills like Tom DeLay, who is himself now in the middle of this bribery scandal, and Roy Blunt, who is apparently being paid off by the tobacco companies, and it's terrible. And so we have this situation where recently those on the right have suggested that whenever government tries to control corporate behavior, that is in some way socialism. Well, in fact, socialism, in its purest form and definition, is when government controls the means of production. That is, government actually owns the businesses. I don't know anybody, any rational person on the left, or at least in the mainstream left, or in the radical middle, who would suggest that corporations should be owned by government. It's a straw man argument. So what is the middle ground? Well, on the extreme end, you have on one end the all corporations being owned by the government. That was what they tried in the Soviet Union. And on the other end, you've got corporations behaving in an absolutely unconstrained, unrestrained fashion. And that's the program that is being promoted by what we call the right these days, by the so-called conservatives, or, you know, Rush Limbaugh refers to liberals as libs. I think we ought to call conservatives cons. So the cons are suggesting that corporations should be absolutely unrestrained, that what's called laissez-faire capitalism, laissez-faire means unrestricted, it's French for, as I recall, let the people choose. And what it means is government's not going to interfere with, we're not going to involve ourselves in corporate activity. And George Soros, the billionaire, wrote a marvelous book called The Crisis of Global Capitalism, in which he warns about what will happen if we have absolute laissez-faire capitalism that is unrestrained by any governmental influence. And what happens is what Senator Sherman in 1889 tried to stop with the Sherman Antitrust Act, and that is that big fish, you know, you got a bunch of small and medium-sized fish, and the medium-sized ones start eating the small ones and then start eating each other, and pretty soon you've got nothing but big fish, and then their numbers start diminishing, and then you have ultimately just a very few corporations, maybe even one, or one in each major industry, that have come to completely dominate industries. And that is not healthy. It's not healthy for an economy. It's not healthy for democracy. And it's not healthy for the industries themselves. Because when corporations get so large that they have created monopoly, that they have completely dominated an industry, innovation in an industry usually dies. Innovation comes from the small guys. It comes from the entrepreneurs, from the inventors. And if they can't get in, if they can't participate, then innovation stops and things start collapsing. And so, there's this broad consensus that there is a role for government to play in a democratic republic like we have, where the government plays the role of making sure that laissez-faire capitalism doesn't doesn't run amok, that everybody understands that corporations have, you know, they do many good things and many useful things, but they have a legal mandate to have one primary purpose for their existence, and that is to make profit, to generate profit. And as in a body, in a biological system, when you have only one, you know, when if one part of your body decides that it's going to only have the goal of growth rather than cooperation, you have cancer. And this is the situation that is so often missed by the folks who say government should have no role in restraining corporations. And the Ayn Rand libertarian thinkers, if you go back and read Atlas Shrugged, if you have the time to wade through 1,000 pages, it's basically, you know, Ayn Rand was born in Russia, lived through the Bolshevik Revolution, and her father's store, I forget what kind of business it was nationalized. In other words, they came in and they said, independent private people can't own businesses anymore. The government took it over. It destroyed him. She came to the United States. She wrote this book. She came up with this philosophy, the objectivist philosophy. Said government has no role in interfering with private conduct. And if you're looking at government as the Soviet Union, as Ayn Rand did, I agree. But if you look at government as a democratic republic, where the government has the job of standing in our place, of representing us, then it plays an important role in the marketplace in saying, wait a minute, we're not going to get so large that competition in a specific... And, you know, everybody's talking now. I mean, John McCain has just introduced a measure that would ban industry-sponsored travel by FCC commissioners and staff. You know, they pointed out this, the Center for forget the name of it, but the group that was just referenced by our guest Rob Williams had pointed out that FCC commissioners had received $2.8 million in travel and entertainment expenses over the past 8 years, most of it from the very industries that these guys regulate. And so Congress's answer to this, or John McCain's answer, is to say, no, you can't do that. Number one, and number two, we will pay for your travel and entertainment, which actually makes sense. I mean, you know, if they have to go to trade functions, industry functions, they should have an expense account to do that. It might not necessarily, may not be that it should be millions and millions of dollars, $2.8 million. They shouldn't be put up in the presidential suites of Las Vegas hotels and wined and dined by industry lobbyists. But should government restrain corporations? Let's look at another dimension of this, big agriculture. And this gets really interesting because we've got this news out now that so many people in America are developing diabetes. The big headline, one-third of Americans born in 2000 will get diabetes. Well, what does this have to do with government restraint of corporate behavior? This is fascinating. While our population in the United States from 1933 to today more than doubled, we went from more than 7 million family farms producing all of the food in America to 68% of our food today being produced by only 170,000 farms, most of them owned by five corporations. There's a total of 2.16 million farms in America, about one-third as many as in 1933, but the vast majority of them are just, you know, little gentleman farm operations or whatever they call those things. The number of hog farms has fallen 70% just since 1990. The independent market for chickens, beef, pork is essentially wiped out. There is no independent market anymore. The number of dairies has dropped 37% just since 1992. Three huge transnational corporations account for 81% of U.S. corn exports and 65% of soybean exports. And while consumer food prices increased 3% from 1984 to 1998 after you adjust it for inflation, The prices paid to farmers dropped 36%, which has wiped out all these family farms and given those large corporations with economies of scale the ability to just come in and inhale this entire industry. A combination of cheap foreign labor. By the way, I'm getting these stats from a Denver Post article, The Big Agriculture versus Sustainable Production by Paul D. Johnson. Cheap foreign labor, Johnson says, controlled producers, inadequate environmental regulation, and markets dominated by a handful of huge corporations represent the bottom line here. But nowhere on that list, says Johnson, is the health of the land or the health of our communities. He says, although the federal government has broad antitrust authority, you heard me read the law just a moment ago, no serious effort to investigate the loss of independent food markets has been made in the last 20 years since Ronald Reagan. 60% of USDA payments go to 10% of the recipients. Now, what does this have to do with obesity? This is where it gets really interesting. Here's the stat, first of all. A third of the people born in the United States in 2000 will develop diabetes. 17 million Americans right now have diabetes. It's the leading cause of heart disease. It's the leading cause of kidney disease. It's the leading cause of blindness in the United States. And it's the leading cause of limb amputation. Now, last year, George Bush signed a $190 billion farm bill. Under this program, every year, the large farming corporations of America receive $4 billion in your and my tax dollars. It costs about $3 a bushel to grow corn. But the market price is around $2 a bushel. The difference is paid for by you and me. Now, here's where this gets really interesting. In the last couple of decades, by genetic engineering and fancy hybridization techniques, the food companies, the big grain, the big seed corporations, have developed corn that has higher sugar in it, higher fructose. Fructose is a monosaccharide. It's a very simple sugar. It's different from the sucrose that you find in cane sugar, or the sucrose and glucose that you find in beet sugar. It's a much simpler sugar. It whacks the body much more rapidly. It goes into your system much more rapidly. And they developed corn that it was very high in this stuff. And then the federal government started subsidizing the production of it. And we're producing so much more of it than we need that the prices actually collapsed. Now, what this means is that sugar made from corn becomes cheaper than any other kind of sugar. Remember when Coke changed from regular Coke to New Coke? And then, you know, stepped back and went to Classic Coke? Well, here's the series of events. Coke, since the 19th century, back when it used to have cocaine in it, which is where its name came from, they took the cocaine out in the 1920s, but back from all the way back into the 1800s, Coke was made with cane sugar. Sucrose and glucose. And during the Reagan era, when we started handing billions of dollars in corporate welfare payments to the large corporations who were contributors to the conservative campaigns, during that era, corn became cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and the sugar made from it, corn syrup, became cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And so Coke, looking around, said, you know, we can save a pile of money. We can increase our profits if we dump the cane sugar from our product and replace it with corn sugar. But it tastes different. Corn sugar is sweeter than cane sugar. And it actually has a slightly different flavor. So they knew that if they just did it, there would be this huge protest. So they rolled out this new Coke, which was made with corn sugar. And they discontinued production of the old Coke, which was made with cane sugar. Everybody freaked out and got all upset. And so they said, okay, well, we'll come out with Coke Classic. Now, they never said it was the original formula, because Coke Classic is made with corn sugar, too. In other words, that corporation made a very nice, clean, seamless transition with lots of PR from a cane sugar-based product to a corn sugar-based product. which gets us to the question of why should government constrain corporations or restrain corporations? What's happening now is that by subsidizing corn this way, we're actually subsidizing with our tax dollars the production of corn sugar. And it turns out there have been no long-term studies done on the impact of corn sugar. Nobody had ever eaten corn sugar before. We've been eating cane sugar for hundreds of years. But corn sugar is a brand new product. It now represents 10% of the calories that a typical American receives. And 20% of all the calories children receive come from corn sugar. And it turns out, this from an article in the New York Times back in July of 2002 by Michael Pollan, When Crop Becomes King. It's probably no coincidence that the wholesale switch to corn sweeteners in the 1980s marks the beginning of the epidemic of obesity and type 2 diabetes in the United States as fructose in our diet soared. He points out, high fructose corn syrup is metabolized differently than other sugars, making it potentially more harmful. A recent study by the University of Minnesota found that a diet high in fructose as compared with glucose, that is high in corn sugar as compared to cane sugar, elevates triglyceride levels in men shortly after eating, a phenomenon that's been linked to an increased risk of obesity and heart disease. Corn-fed beef is higher in saturated fats than grass-fed beef. He goes on to point out that these corn hybrids that produce this high level of sugar require more pesticides, more fertilizer, more water than traditional ones, and are responsible for the despoilation of huge chunks of land all across the United States. Should government restrain corporations? Well, certainly we shouldn't be subsidizing this kind of behavior that is causing this epidemic of obesity. And yeah, I think that we need to go back to saying, not just in the FCC, not just in the media, but right across the board, it's time to enforce the antitrust acts. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please hang up.
Having a hard time connecting with someone who cares? Try the Boys Town National Hotline at 1-800-448-3000. They'll be there to help you when you need it the most, 24 hours a day. They'll even pay for the call. Simply call 1-800-448-3000.
Boys Town National Hotline, how can I help?
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Life is full of decisions. For example, driving through a bird sanctuary with your sunroof open.
Ah. Ooh.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned and backed by GM is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car.
Now qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by June 30th, 2003. See dealer for details or call 1-888-999-7880.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
The
chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
two of
by
them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual position.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Photographer's smile, take a break for a while, take a risk, do your very best, take 5 points.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to be on the program today, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 825-5937. And Ken from Providence, Rhode Island is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Ken. Hey, Brian.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, somebody didn't press a button or something. I know you're coming up on a break, but I got two real quick questions for you. My father used to work with corn syrup, for American Made Corn Syrup, and I brew with dextrose. What's the difference between, and I know dextrose is a corn sugar, what's the difference between that and fructose?
Fructose is a monosaccharide. There's three ways that saccharides, that sugars exist, monosaccharides, disaccharides, and polysaccharides. And at least this is my understanding of it. I'm not a scientist or an expert in this field, but the monosaccharides are the simplest of sugars. The disaccharides are a little more complex, for example, dextrose, glucose, and sucrose. And then the polysaccharides are what we refer to as carbohydrates, as starches. And the more complex a sugar is, the more time it takes for the digestive system to break it down, for it to be absorbed and metabolized. So the consequences of it are more gradual in the body. The simpler the sugar is, the more it just goes wham right into the metabolic pathways and shocks the system.
It sounds like that dextrose basically they refine it even more for fructose. I know that dextrose is a mono, but they probably refine it even more. They'll use dextrose for brewing, and unfortunately also use it in those little packets of NutraSweet and saccharin that you buy, which then they'll feed it to diabetics like candy, which they shouldn't do because it's...
Yeah, I think those contain things like aspartame or other chemicals that simply have a sweet taste.
Now, since you are coming up on a break, a real quick question on something else you covered. Communism versus socialism. I had thought that communism was where the state owned all of the, not pure communism as Marx envisioned it. Obviously, the workers owned everything under Marx, but I thought communism, the state owned everything, and socialism, it was almost your ownership.
Yeah, we'll get into that right after the break here, because the music tells us that the tyranny of the clock has caught up with us. Ken, I'll answer that question on the other side of the news. Ken from Providence, thanks for calling in. Helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The U.S. military is reporting today American troops were attacked by forces firing rocket-propelled grenades in two separate attacks over the weekend, and at least four Americans were wounded in those attacks. Correspondent Lori Yama has more.
The U.S. military says in one incident, a rocket-propelled grenade was fired at a U.S. Army convoy, missing its target but hitting a civilian bus. The U.S. troops then fired on the attackers. The U.S. military says two Americans were injured, but it's not known how many people were hurt on the bus. In the second incident, U.S. soldiers fired back after being targeted by rocket-propelled grenades. Two Americans were injured there. This comes as the U.S. military steps up its sweep through areas west of Baghdad, arresting those suspected of anti-American activities and searching for illegal weapons. Lori Yama, Washington.
European Union foreign ministers this week are meeting in Luxembourg to discuss just what they might be able to possibly do to forward the Middle East peace process. The talks come after a week in which renewed violence left at least 60 people dead in the Middle East, and also as American and Israeli officials and the Palestinian prime minister and Islamic militant groups gather separately at top-level meetings. More on the story from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The European Union foreign ministers are discussing their response to the deteriorating situation in the Middle East. They're also debating whether to send peacekeepers to the region. Javier Solana, the EU's foreign policy representative, says if the time is right, the measure could be supported.
In the context of the implementation of the roadmap, in accordance with everybody, no doubt we will be willing and happy to do it, to help the reconstruction of the infrastructure of the Palestinian Authority.
The EU has already condemned the attacks by Hamas on Israelis and has warned the group its foreign backers could face a clampdown in Europe. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon told an emergency meeting of parliament a peace deal between Israelis and Palestinians is impossible unless there's a crackdown on militant groups who are behind those recent attacks on Israelis.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allevert. New Allevert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allevert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allevert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allevert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allevert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The search has now been called off for two people still missing in the wake of a deadly boat accident off the Oregon coast. That charter fishing vessel capsized over the weekend when it was slammed by a 20-foot wave. 11 of the 19 people on board were killed. The two remaining missing are presumed dead. The survivors were taken to local hospitals. Federal investigators today, meanwhile, will look at the site of a plane crash that killed four people in Pennsylvania. The single-engine plane went down in Westmoreland County yesterday, only moments after takeoff. The passengers were skydivers planning on practicing for an upcoming air show. Only one of the skydivers survived.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief. Better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe has banned strikes in his nation by workers in essential services like healthcare, communications, firefighting, transportation, as well as the state power utility. And now the Washington Post is urging the use of tough economic sanctions against Mugabe's government, which would be imposed by Zimbabwe's neighbors. Correspondent Priscilla Huff with more.
Pull the plug on Robert Mugabe. That's the title of an editorial in the Washington Post newspaper, which argues the single largest hope for Zimbabweans lies with their neighbor South Africa, which supplies 15% of Zimbabwe's electricity. The Washington Post editorial board believes South African President Thabo Mbeki should cut off that supply because it might just undermine enough of Robert Mugabe's support that he'll actually talk. In recent days, the Bush administration has condemned Zimbabwe's President Mugabe for detaining Morgan Tsvangirai and trying to quash the movement for democratic change. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And I'm Corey Morris, and you're listening to IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Carfenic Minute. Out of sight, out of mind is dangerous advice when it comes to radiator hoses. After just 4 years of use, they're 100 times more likely to fail. When we come back, I'll tell you the signs.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
What you can't see can hurt you when it comes to radiator hoses. Hoses deteriorate due to chemical reactions between rubber and your car's fluids, like oil and coolant. Heat, age, and pollution also take their toll, causing tiny cracks that split, blister, or leak. To identify a defective hose, look at it. Is it scuffed, swollen, cracked? Now touch. Is it soft, gooey, spongy? These are sure signs. But even if hoses look and feel okay, internal deterioration, hidden from view, may spell danger. Be on the safe side. Replace hoses every 4 years. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Talk radio for the rest of us. Welcome back. Day 88 of the hunt for weapons of mass destruction. What will be the political consequences of George Bush lying about the reason to go to war? The tough one. We'll get into that a little later on. Wanted to wrap up a few things from the last hour. One was the question that the caller, Ken in Providence, Rhode Island, had asked about socialism, communism, Marxism. One of the problems, I think, that we have, and one of the things that has been used by demagogues to great benefit, is that there aren't any really good, clean definitions of these things. If you were to go to Norway and talk to the Norwegians, they would tell you that they live in a state, in a socialist state, or that they have a socialist form of government. And yet, the government doesn't own any corporate means of production. Basically, in Norway, you have free health care, you have free education, including college, and corporations are prevented from getting too large or too toxic. They pay high taxes, but they also have a very high quality of life. There's a consensus in Norway and all of the other Scandinavian countries and most of Northern Europe. There's a consensus that there is something to be said on a purely selfish level for producing a quality of life right across the board that is of benefit, that benefits everybody. That if you derive the blessings of a free market society or a free enterprise society, that you have an obligation to participate in it and to perpetuate it in a way that is healthy, and that it's just you know, people would by and large would rather spend a little more in their taxes and know that they're not going to be confronted by hungry mobs when they walk out the front door than not. These are the fundamental choices that are happening in the United States right now too. Communism is, as far as I know right now, only practiced among tribal people and in kibbutz in Israel. And in small communities, it seems to work well. But once you reach a size where it's not possible for everybody to know everybody, more than maybe 100, 150 people, it breaks down. It just doesn't work. And socialism, the classical definition, and in fact the communist states called themselves socialist, the USSR, Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, employed this notion that socialism was the government owning the means of production. But nowadays, the socialist parties of Europe would say, no, it really means taking care of things like health care and making sure that people can live well. In our last hour, we were asking, should governments restrain corporations? One last, just again, going back to this whole question of what is the role that government plays in a marketplace that is so dominated by corporate interests. This is from Science News back on May 10th. The headline is Agricultural Chemicals May Cause Prostate Cancer. On-the-job exposure to certain agricultural chemicals may be responsible for farmers' high rates of prostate cancer. This according to the National Cancer Institute in Rockville, Maryland, a large study that they did that involved 55,332 men. And they said, quote, there is a wealth of evidence that farmers tend to be at a higher risk of prostate cancer. Some pesticides appear to mimic the actions of hormones and thus cause cancer of such organs as the prostate and breast. And it goes on to say that farmers have a 14% higher rate of prostate cancer than non-farmers, and that there's a clear association between prostate cancer and occupational exposure to five insecticides, permethrin, carbufurum, methylbromide, I don't even know how to pronounce these, and fulfenols. And this is from the May American Journal of Epidemiology, that these compounds clearly are implicated in causing prostate cancer in farmers. Well, this raises two questions. The first is, should the government be stepping in and saying to the farmers, hey, did you know that this stuff that you're being exposed to can cause cancer? Because the corporations that are selling it certainly are not telling them. And secondly, if it causes cancer in the farmers from handling it, what about you and me from eating the food? Could this have something to do with why we're seeing this explosion of breast and prostate cancers across the United States? An explosion, by the way, that is not fully replicated in many other fully industrialized countries in the world where a lot of these compounds are illegal. Good question. Odd news of the day. David Nelson's everywhere. This from the Los Angeles Times this weekend. David Nelson, remember Ozzy and Harriet? Some of you, I guess I'm dating myself. Ozzy and Harriet had, you know, Rick Nelson and David Nelson, their sons. And David Nelson, the son of Ozzy and Harriet, got busted at an airport for having the name, for traveling while being a David Nelson. It turns out that there are David Nelsons all over the country that are being busted. 18 of them have reported to the Portland's Oregonian newspaper. 4 of them in Alaska have told similar stories to the Juneau Empire. A half a dozen David Nelsons just in Los Angeles have all been blocked from getting on airplanes because of the TSA's name-matching software. This guy from South Pasadena, 73-year-old David Nelson, one of many, He said he was surrounded by a swarm of security officers. He says, I guess that's so I wouldn't make a break for it. This guy's 73 years old and walks with a cane. And every time when he transferred planes, they busted him every time. Things have run amok. And the problem is that, on the one hand, the TSA, in some public announcements, is saying they don't have a list. In other public announcements, they're saying they do have a list, a no-fly list. In some public announcements, they're saying, oh, you can get off the list, but they don't tell us how. In other public announcements, they say, oh, well, there is no such list, so you can't get off it. And so many of these David Nelsons, according to this report in the LA Times, have actually just stopped flying. Our quote for the day is from the Nuremberg trials, from Robert L. Jackson, the chief U.S. prosecutor. He said this back in the midst of the Nuremberg trials. He said, we must make clear to the Germans that the wrong for which their fallen leaders are on trial is not that they lost the war, but that they started it. And we must not allow ourselves to be drawn into a trial of the causes of the war, for our position is that no grievances and no policies will ever justify resort to aggressive war. It is utterly renounced and condemned as an instrument of policy. The idea of preemptive war is the only thing that led to the conviction of many of the Nuremberg tribunal convictees. Back in September 16th of last year, George Bush said, one of the ways we've got to make sure that we keep our economy strong is to be wise about how we spend our money. If you overspend, it creates a fundamental weakness in the foundation of economic growth. And so I'm working with Congress, George Bush said, to make sure they hear the message, and the message is of fiscal responsibility. End quote. The reality, according to the Congressional Budget Office, less than 6 months after this pronouncement, Bush proposed a budget that would put the government more than $300 billion into deficit. As National Journal noted on 212.02, Bush's own 2004 budget tables show that without his tax cut and budgetary proposals, the deficit would decline after 2006. But with Bush's proposals, the deficit will grow indefinitely. And one little bit of news from the world of science. I found this very encouraging. This from The New Scientist last week. This is a dramatic breakthrough in solar cell technology. A company has developed solar cells. The company's called SunPower of Sunnyvale, California, has found a way to make solar cells 20 times cheaper. That is, as in, it costs 5% of what it used to cost. And they're 20% more efficient than traditional solar cells. They generate one-third more electricity. And NASA has built an airplane with these things, and they go on to say that they've come up with a technology for putting. I won't go into a whole technical thing about it. That cuts the cost 95%, the cost of manufacture. The New Scientist points out, the average power demand of a household is 2,000 to 3,000 watts, with solar cells around 20% efficient, which is what these new ones are. This demand can be met with about 15 square meters, or 15 square yards more or less, of solar panels, which is compact enough to fit on a rooftop. And they cost about $10 a watt. This breakthrough has made it possible for you to buy roofing tiles that are actually solar cells and power your home if you live in most parts of the United States and Europe. This could be a huge transformation in the way things are done. And wouldn't it be great if our government, instead of giving billions of dollars in subsidies, grants, and outright welfare payments to Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Texaco, and other huge oil companies, was to say, hey, maybe we should stop subsidizing oil. If they want to just be completely passive. Or even say to the solar cell companies, hey, you guys are doing good. Let us encourage you. Let us at least give it some publicity. Let's promote this thing. Time will tell, but this is certainly the path Jimmy Carter was on. And Ronald Reagan, of course, his first official act of office when he became president was to remove the solar collectors from the White House roof. And we've never turned back from that, unfortunately. Our question for this hour, what's the political agenda behind the Medicare drug benefit? I find this fascinating, this thing that all of a sudden George Bush, who has been, up until this point, espousing this conservative agenda that the government is always evil and private corporations are always good, that private corporations can do no harm, and that all functions that in many cases traditionally have been handled by government should be handled by private corporations. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal today about, in fact, right on the front page, about how middlemen are it's a gold mine, Iraq is. And they pointed out how Halliburton had received a contract. They had hired middlemen who had hired middlemen who had contracted for the work. And they interviewed one of the middlemen who was hired by one of the middlemen who was hired by Halliburton. And each step along the way, these people are taking their piece, their pound of flesh. You know, they're cut out of the action. And, of course, this is the GOP way of doing things. This is the new conservative way of doing things. Yes, hand it over to the corporations and let's, you know, let them get rich. No problem. It's just tax dollars, after all. Well, now George Bush is saying, hey, maybe we should pay for people's drug bills. Well, it's got a gotcha in it. It's got a bunch of them, actually. And it turns out that the prescription drug benefit that's being discussed, it's going to be interesting to see how this, you know, what the reaction to this is. Ted Kennedy has come out in favor of this, and I'm convinced the reason why he is supporting it, and many in his party are just, you know, beating their heads against the wall, saying, why is Kennedy doing this? Because it's handing Bush, just like the No Child Left Behind Act, which turned out to be a horrible thing for our schools now. But, you know, he cites it as saying he's a compassionate conservative, and with this, he'll have these two compassionate, well, I gave drugs to seniors and I gave education to kids. And, in fact, neither is the case, but it's setting up his 2004 election campaign. And so, anyhow, the question is, what's the political agenda behind the Medicare drug benefit? How is this going to happen? What's going to happen with this? This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is. But with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate $9.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
When you go into America's national parks, your eyes and soul soak up the experience. Majestic mountains, timeless forests, breathtaking canyons, expansive seashores. But if you look around, you'll also notice something not so spectacular. Rotting facilities, fewer visitor hours, closed off areas, fewer rangers. All signs of a phenomenal national asset being allowed to deteriorate. Why is this happening? Where's our national leadership? As a presidential candidate, George W. expressed indignity at the failure to maintain such a priceless system. In 2000, he staged a campaign media event with the soaring Cascade Mountains as his backdrop, warning in outrage that our national parks are, quote, at the breaking point, and he vowed to voters that he'd eliminate the $5 billion backlog in needed maintenance to restore the system. 3 years later, Ranger George is nowhere to be seen. The national maintenance backlog is now $6 billion, and Bush even slashed 40% of the repair budget for the very same mountain park that he had used as a political backdrop. And instead of expanding our public parks, as every president for the last century has done, George allowed national park space to shrink by 187,000 acres last year alone. He also cut the overall repair budget for Western parks by 28%, diverting much of this money to his right-wing ideological goal of privatizing our public system, allowing corporate profiteers to replace some 1,700 experienced workers with poorly trained, low-wage workers. This is Jim Hightower saying, fixing and expanding our wondrous national parks is but one of the crying national needs that could have been met with a fraction of that $325 billion that Bush and Congress just took from our national treasury and so frivolously gave away to the richest people in America. Teddy Roosevelt would be ashamed. But then, George is no Teddy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey! And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. You're in the Democracy Zone here on the IE America Radio Network. Moving right along, what's the political agenda behind the Medicare drug benefit? Well, there's the demographics are coming up, you know, creeping up over the next 30 years. The percentage of the population over 65 will rise from 13% today to over 20% by 2030, according to an article in today's USA Today. And according to this article, spending on Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, and interest on the federal debt. Now, see, that's a wild card, and I think that any time you see somebody throw that in and then cite a statistic, you know, they say it could zoom from 8% of the economy to 21%. It could be that all of that is interest on the federal debt. I mean, that I don't understand why USA Today would throw that in there unless it's part of some political agenda that they have. Why would you pollute the numbers for Medicaid with the numbers for the national debt? It's a whole separate issue. Anyhow, the GOP... And along with Ted Kennedy, Democrats and the Republicans seem to be agreeing on this. And a lot of the Democrats are going, whoa, why are you guys, why is Ted Kennedy handing George Bush his next election? Just like in 2001, Ted Kennedy supported the No Child Left Behind Act, which Bush rolled out in 2002 to say, see, we really are compassionate. We are in favor of education, even as they were slashing education budgets all across the United States, and there's not a school system in this country that's not in a crisis right now as a consequence of that stupid law, that destructive law. I can't believe Ted Kennedy supported that. I mean, it's just, it boggles my mind. Jim Jeffords left the party over that. So now we've got, you know, No Child Left Behind 2, only now it's No Old Person Left Behind, where the from $276, you have a $275 annual deductible. First of all, you pay for the first $275 a year worth of drugs yourself. And then from $276 to $4,500, this insurance policy will pay half the expense. Then it pays nothing from $4,500 to $5,800. And then above $5,800, it pays 90%. Now, if this sounds weird and jerry-rigged, the kind of thing that is worthy of corporate America and the insurance companies, there's a reason why. And that reason is that this program that these clowns are suggesting, pardon me, I shouldn't call them clowns, that these politicians are suggesting, is not where the government is going to take our hard-earned tax money and efficiently use it to simply pay for prescription drug coverage, like Medicare normally does. Medicare is a very efficient system. It runs at about 3% overhead.
compared with health insurance companies that run anywhere from 10 to 24% overhead. Because they have to pay their CEOs multi-million dollar salaries and they have to pay dividends and, you know, the whole rent. No, what this proposal would do is subsidize insurance companies. People on Medicaid will have an option of buying insurance handled by private corporations to pay for their drugs. And it's going to cost $30, $40, $50 a year. Who knows how much it's going to cost? Over time, it could go way up. Actually, it's $30, $40, $50 a month. Right now, they're suggesting that the annual premium will be $420, which means that you'd have to have drug bills of over $1,100 before you even break even on the money that you're paying in premiums to these private corporate insurance companies who are going to be providing this benefit under Medicare. This sure looks like a scam to me. But it's one that's got huge money. Over the next 10 years, according to health experts, quote-unquote, cited in USA Today, seniors will need $1.6 trillion worth of prescription drugs. However, this proposal will only provide for $400 billion, and at that, these huge holes in it. I wonder if there's going to be a backlash to this. What is the political agenda behind this? What are the political consequences? We'll return with more about the political agenda behind the Medicare drug benefit in just a moment.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Grayline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-825. I'll listen to us live on the web at
Animal Talk. Not your father's Rick 37.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Liberty Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 like a call.
Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and smile.
So alive and well. Medicare proposal yields an odd couple. This in today's Wall Street Journal. Interesting analysis, a really interesting analysis of this Medicare proposal. They're suggesting that this topic, or will the consequences of George Bush lying about the war come back to haunt him? We'll get to that in a second. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. The Wall Street Journal suggests that George Bush is betting that they can come up with a program that is sufficiently bad that most seniors will actually buy private health insurance or private drug benefit insurance, and that this isn't going to be a big burden on the government. Ted Kennedy, on the other hand, the Wall Street Journal says, is betting that more than 80% of older Americans are going to jump into this program, and that, you know, it's the proverbial camel's nose under the edge of the tent, that he's opening the door for something that he's been fighting for ever since LBJ's Great Society, when Ted Kennedy first helped author the original Medicare bill. And so we have these two guys on these two sides of this argument who have completely different expectations, completely different visions of what this should be. And each one of them apparently thinks that they're pulling something over on the others. You know, Bush is saying, well, there's not going to be so much of a downside to this because it's going to be bad enough that most people won't actually sign up for it. But I'll be able to claim benefit. I'll be able to claim the political, you know, goodies of, hey, I gave it to people. And Ted Kennedy is saying, hey, no, this is the beginning of a true single-payer healthcare system in the United States. We're moving in the direction. I mean, this is actually something that Bill Clinton suggested in 1993. And it's interesting, when Bill Clinton first suggested this, Bill Cruz, 230 of her new book, Bill Cruz, the conservative strategist, issued a memo saying that the Clinton health care plan was, quote, a serious political threat to the Republican Party, end quote. The danger being that if a health care plan, which everybody knew the majority of Americans wanted, they wanted it in 93, they want it now, and they're willing to pay for it, that if a health care plan was passed by Congress while a Democrat was president, that it would provide a, quote, a seminal boost to Democrats for years, end quote. This is from a column by Matt Miller, Occidental College in Los Angeles. And therefore, for the sake of the party, Bill Kristol says, the GOP just could not compromise with Clinton. They had to go to the mattresses, they say in The Godfather. And so now that we have a Republican as president, the GOP is willing to do what they were absolutely unwilling to do in 93. And what will the consequences be? It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I have a feeling it's going to play out the same way that Leave No Child Behind did. That is, it's going to be another piece of legislation that is essentially destructive, that harms the people it's purporting to help, that can further muddies and confuses the situation, and that is used for political gain by the Republicans, and the Democrats are going to be left, you know, looking around going, what happened? It just went remarkable. This plan is really just a subsidy for the insurance companies, in my opinion.
So we'll see what happens. What will be the consequences of George W. Bush lying about the need for a war in Iraq?
7 years ago, as a condition for ending the Persian Gulf War,
George Bush said,
the Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction, to cease all development of such weapons, and to stop all support for terrorist groups. The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations. It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
So George Bush tells us that the Iraqis have biological, chemical, and are seeking nuclear weapons, and therefore we got to do something right away. Now, before we leave the topic of health care, though, we have a call. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, by the way, 1-800-825-5937. Billy from Santa Cruz, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, Billy.
You know, the way the Republicans name things, I think, is just it shows they're a real genius for lying and fooling the public. When when they say no child left behind, it probably means something like, let's destroy public education with a voucher system, right?
Right. Yep.
When they say, well, you know, let's talk about this medical insurance thing. You know, medical care ain't the same as medical insurance.
Right.
Insurance is simply the single most expensive way to deliver service to human beings.
Yeah, because the insurance companies have to take a piece of the action.
And not just a piece, but an unconscionably big piece, considering, again, what are we talking about? I'm going to hammer this home as often as I need to, but that because I want to be a capitalist. But I don't want to have the profit motive involved in people's very lives, whether people live or die. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I absolutely agree. There is room for capitalism and for government participation in the healthcare universe, in my opinion. We have, on the one hand, we want the benefits of a free enterprise system. That is, we want people innovating in the development of drugs and the development of new technologies and new ways of providing healthcare. Yes, absolutely. And we shouldn't be messing in that. We don't want governments to own corporations. But
and when it
comes
time
to the actual
for somebody to pay for people who need help paying, what we don't want is to go through an insurance company that guarantees we're going to spend at least 20% more.
Right. When it comes to the actual delivery of the healthcare services, I believe that we should go back to the policy that we had in the United States from the 1920s up until the 1980s, when Reagan dismantled it, of requiring that hospitals be nonprofit corporations. There's no room for profit in delivery of healthcare.
You got
hospitals,
it.
Hospitals can operate on a nonprofit basis. We don't need innovation that's going to enhance profits in the field of providing nursing services. What we
you
need is good nursing services.
You know, when it comes to my sneakers, I want the government out. I don't want the government telling me which sneakers to wear. And you know what? That's really okay because I don't have to have sneakers and I don't have to have a certain kind, do I?
Right.
But I need health care. I need water. I need electricity. And to let the kind of profit seekers that the Bush people are behind, and let's face it, isn't what this is one more transfer of my tax money to his friends.
Right. I absolutely agree with you, Billy, and I'm right there. Thank you. Thanks for making your point and making it so eloquently. I appreciate your call. I absolutely agree. This is about this transfer of wealth that Billy's talking about is just that. Corporations coming in and saying, here, you know, have some. Yeah. And the nonprofit sector, it's appropriate, in my opinion, for hospitals to be operating on a nonprofit basis and for government operating on a nonprofit basis. Keep in mind, government is a nonprofit institution. It doesn't pay stockholders. It doesn't pay dividends. It doesn't pay its CEOs multimillion-dollar salaries. It's a nonprofit institution, and it is controlled by us. It's appropriate that those services that are monopoly form, that there is no competition for. We must, as Billy said, we must have water, we must have fresh air, we must have electricity, we must have that those things be provided by government in a form that's answerable to us. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 if you'd like to weigh in on this. Tim in Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome, Tim.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tim.
I was just curious, your remarks that Clinton's was health care proposal was a single-payer health care proposal? Could you explain that to me?
Yeah,
what exactly did you mean?
Well, he was not suggesting fully a single-payer health care program. He was suggesting something very similar to what's being proposed right now, which is basically subsidizing insurance companies.
Right.
But a single-payer health care system is, for example, what they have in Canada and what they have in Germany. And,
right.
And I lived in Germany for a year and have firsthand experience of it. And it's basically where you have, you know, private corporations manufacturing drugs and providing services, and you leave the free enterprise system intact, basically. I believe in Germany, hospitals have to be nonprofit corporations, and many of them are actually run by the towns and communities in which they reside. But when it comes time to pay the bill is paid by a single entity.
Right.
And in the case of Germany, the entity is government. In the case of Canada, the entity is government or a corporation, a nonprofit corporation set up by the government. So there's one single payer rather than a whole multitude of payers of different insurance companies and different government agencies.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought I misunderstood what you were saying at all, because it's certainly a key issue that I'm looking for. And right now, you know, Kucinich, I believe, is the only one who's come out with a single-payer health system proposal,
yeah.
And probably, you know, of someone like Howard Dean, people are actually thinking that he is for that when he has quite emphatically said he's not.
Yeah. Well, I live here in Vermont right now,
right.
And Howard Dean proposed and put through legislation here in Vermont that has basically covered every child in the state. I think that Dean's approach ultimately will lead to single-payer health care, and although it would... There would be no chance that he could ever be elected president of the United States if he came out in favor of single-payer health care.
What do you think about Maine's proposal? Have you read much about that? It looks like they're going to almost a single-payer.
Yeah, they're moving very rapidly in that direction. I don't know the details of the proposal. I read an article about it in the weekend newspaper. And, it looks like they're moving. It'll be interesting to see what happens and how that plays out. I think that something similar to that is happening in Hawaii as well right now.
Right, because of the cost and everything and the single payer. I mean, to me, this is probably one of the defining issues that I want some of these, you know, the candidates to talk about. And if they don't start talking about the real consequences of this, you know, this half-hearted measure, eventually we're going to get there, I'm really tired of it. I've been promised this for years and years. I mean, I think Harry Truman was very close to, you know, putting forth this years ago, and it's surprising that we are still the last modern civilization that doesn't have this yet.
Yeah, and Harry Truman caved into the insurance industry's pressures as well. I mean, it was just the power. I agree with you, Tim. Thanks for the call, and I appreciate your calling in. The power of this industry is mind-boggling. I don't know if you've seen the movie Bullworth with Warren Beatty. It's interesting to the point about the power of that industry. So the healthcare industry run amok in America. And what's going to come out of it? Who knows? And with weapons of mass destruction, is this going to be George Bush's Waterloo? My thought on this is, and now this is going to sound incredibly cynical, and I'm really, you know, there are times when I really am not this cynical, but the last year or so, the last couple of years, I remember in 2002, as we were coming up on the elections, whenever some scandal involving the Republicans started coming out, and there was and Cheney was being investigated, Cheney was being sued, they were looking into George Bush's Harkin Energy insider deal where he made $850,000 for doing the exact same thing that Martha Stewart is accused of. Every time one of these things hit the news, within an hour, somebody in the White House would be having some kind of a press conference where they'd be talking about Iraq and we got to go into Iraq, and the entire anti-war movement would freak out. You'd have demonstrations and protests, and they effectively shut down all dialogue during that election campaign on anything except whether or not we should attack Iraq. Remember? I think they've learned their lesson very well. And they know that if they want to control the dialogue in 2004, they have to have a war going on. And I suspect that after attacking Iraq, they were ready to go after Syria or Iran next. And that was going to be the big October surprise. The Bush family's good at October surprises. George Sr. participated with Nixon in putting together Operation Zapata way back in 1960. Operation Zapata, you may remember, was the codename operator. George Bush Sr. owned Zapata Oil Company. The two ships that were involved in Operation Zapata were the Barbara J. and the Houston, and it came to be known later as the Bay of Pigs. And similarly, George Bush went over and cut a deal with the Iranians to hold on to the hostages, which wiped out Jimmy Carter's chance of beating Ronald Reagan, and then they had to repay the Iranians for that, and that became the Iran-Contra scandal. And so will this George Bush have an October surprise next year? Well, I was convinced that it was going to be Iraq or Syria, but now I'm thinking that rug may have been pulled out from underneath them by these revelations that they had lied to get us into this war, that there was no imminent threat. And if that's the case, then what are they going to do? They got to have a war someplace, because that will divert people's attention away from all these domestic crises and other issues. I'm guessing it's going to be in Israel. I'm guessing that U.S. troops are going to be committed to policing the West Bank and Gaza Strip, that we're going to get ourselves into that thing in the name of trying to bring peace to the Middle East. And that's going to provide the cover that this administration has to have in order to be able to successfully prosecute an election. Now, time will tell, and I hope I am wrong. I really hope I am wrong. But we'll see. So today, in the Washington Post, an article about how Rand Beers, who was one of the top security guys, he took Ollie North's job, actually, when Ollie was convicted of a felony way back when, during the Reagan administration, about lying to Congress about selling and giving weapons to Iran in exchange for hanging on to the hostages. And Rand Beer quit his job and has now gone to work for the Kerry campaign. And he was a guy who was in charge of our national security. He says, the administration wasn't matching its deeds to its words in the war on terrorism. They're making us less secure, not more secure. As an insider, Beers says, I saw the things that weren't being done. And the longer I sat and watched, the more concerned I became until I got up and walked out. Could this be George Bush's Waterloo? Is he facing a problem here? It's going to be interesting to see. We've got interesting times coming here. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. Be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe...
That's a steal?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general... You just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief. Better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show.
My website, peterwerby.com. Somebody wrote in fact, they called in to that 800 number, some right-wing nutball, and he's going, between every sentence, he says, anywho, you really suck, and anywho, your website looks like it was put together by a teenager.
Perhaps he's homophobic.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he did say something about, he says, anywho, your photograph of you smiling, maybe one of your friends is tickling you, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my.
I didn't know what he meant. But you know, and I thought I ought to try to make it a little more professional, right? But you know how ornery I actually am, right? And so I'm going to keep it like that. I'm going to have it this mess because what you're supposed to have is buttons,
screw texture them. Or something like that.
Screw them. That's what I say. I'm keeping it messy.
The Peter Werby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman radio program in The Guardian. I'm sorry, in The Observer. Oh, maybe it's The Guardian. Oh, it's The Observer. Okay, in The Observer, one of the British newspapers, an official British investigation into two trailers found in northern Iraq has concluded that they are not mobile germ warfare labs. Let me repeat, an official British investigation. The British report that they are for the production of hydrogen to fill artillery balloons, as the Iraqis have continued to insist. As they said, quote, they are not mobile germ warfare laboratories. You will not hear this on Fox News, by the way. They could not use them for making biological weapons. They do not even look like them. They are exactly what the Iraqis said they were, facilities for the production of hydrogen gas to fill balloons. And so it goes. Jeff in Denver, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello. I wanted to make a point of the way we can stop this profitization of America.
Mm-hmm.
And to give people hope is, you know, like if you look at 2000, all it took was one person to really delay and derail things. Well, St. Jeffords, Jim Jeffords, you know, it was amazing how much just his defection changed things.
Oh, yeah.
And look at Daniel Ellsberg, what an effect he had. All we need is one person of conscience to come out and change, and we can really have dramatic effect.
It'll be interesting to see if it's going to be retired General Wesley Clark. I think that he's running for vice president. But, you know, he came out this weekend and said that the weapons of mass destruction involved, quote, a certain amount of hype, end quote. And he also said, quote, it was never revealed what the imminence of the threat was, end quote. And you know, they're saying, is he going to run for president? Who knows? He's playing.
Well, I believe in politeness, but I think we have a little bit too much diplomacy right now, like with a lot of people saying, well, they stretch things a little. Sometimes you got to call a lie a lie.
Yeah, for sure.
But all we need is just one or two people. If three senators would go and form another party, it would change everything.
Yeah, or just, I mean, we've got, you've got one senator and one congressman, both of them from Vermont, strangely enough, who have become independents. Maybe more will do that. That would be interesting to see. Jeff, thank you for the call. I appreciate you calling in. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks for joining us today. See you tomorrow.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website.